What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Updike.
I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clips, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo!
We're coming at you 5 days a week with all that fresh Clippers news. Speaking of which, we got some victory to recap for you.
Thankfully, we do have a victory to recap.
Fresh off the top, we're going to be talking about that 112 to 126 victory over the Pistons back at home. No Blake Griffin in that one. Still a great victory.
Hoping he shook Steve Ballmer's hand this time, but who knows.
And then we got a couple of quick previews coming up. We got a long weekend of back-to-backs. We got
a weird weekend of basketball.
We got a long weekend of back-to-backs for you. So we're going to do a preview of the Grizzlies game and also the Knicks game, which will be played this Saturday and Sunday at Staples Center. I'm not a betting man, but if I was, I was going to say those tickets are probably pretty affordable. So if you haven't been to a game yet, you should get out there this weekend.
Check it out this weekend. Hit up a matinee game. It'll be a good time.
Today is Friday, so every single Friday we talk a little bit of Pacific Division.
Kind of uneventful. We thought it was going to be fun.
This week a little uneventful, but there's still some stuff to talk about there. And then we've got a classic Love, Marry, Kill for you, so stay tuned for all of that and more coming up right about now.
Oh, yeah. So the Clippers, you know, managed to overcome a bit of a, let's call it, shaky start to this game?
Yeah, no, that's fair.
It was tough. To beat the, I don't want to say upstart Pistons, but the egalitarian scoring Pistons who had nine guys in double figures against us.
Oh, yeah.
Which is pretty incredible. What do we like from this game?
I'm going to say one off the top. I'm glad Derrick Rose didn't go off in this.
I'm glad about that, too. Bummed Blake didn't play.
Didn't need that today. Was bummed Blake didn't play.
Did not need that today very much so. First note in here that I think I talked about this on yesterday's pod. The rest was nice for Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah. They both played under 30 minutes. Paul George played under 16. Kawhi was right around, I think, the 25, 26 minute mark, so very low.
It was great. And so we will have to say, this was in the what we didn't like section, but we can throw it in here. Paul George got some rest. He didn't play the second half because there was a hamstring issue. And we were up by a comfortable enough margin at that time. But I think everyone was like, just, it's fine.
Yeah.
Just don't come back.
So it's kind of interesting because it was originally hamstring tightness that ruled him out for the rest of the game. Doc said he thinks it was maybe more in the back than the legs.
Which, like, dude, why you gotta say that? That freaked me out a little bit. Not freaked me out, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm hoping that this, like, was all just procedural. Like, they just didn't plan to play him because we were up by such a comfortable margin.
Yeah.
And they just needed to have a reasoning for him to go ahead and receive treatment before the end of the game.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I don't know, maybe take a, I don't know if he took a break from the media.
The thing that gets me with the back thing is that if Doc thinks it's more of a back thing, there's reason for him to believe it's, you know, like there's something he's maybe seen that it could be more of a back thing. Mm-hmm. I could be reading too much into it. I was at Disneyland for much time today, but to me, that
fantasy land over here.
That makes me a little shaky of like, oh, well, is there a thing with the back?
Well, regardless,
I could be reading too much.
Regardless, this was a return to form for both him and, I mean, well, Kawhi's playing great, but, you know, it's still a very efficient game from him.
For sure.
In his limited minutes, Paul George had 12, 3, and 3. As I said, under 16 minutes, shot 50% from the floor, 40% from 3. He had one of his best assists, I think, all year.
Which, oh, really?
Yeah, he just had like a cross, like from the nail. He had a to the corner cut to Kawhi. That wasn't, at least visually, an easy pass to make.
I see what you're saying.
But Kawhi knocked down the corner three, and it was one of my favorite looking Paul George assists of the year.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with that.
In terms of actual difficulty, you know, I wasn't on the court. I wasn't on the court D'ing up.
But it looked good.
Because that assist wouldn't have been made, but otherwise it looked good. Kawhi also, like, just had a great game. As I said, once again, limited minutes, but still 18, 6, and 5. Once again, he shot 50% from the floor, 33.3% from three. And the bench really bounced back in this one. Lou Williams had a super efficient 22, 5, and 5. There was a turnover issue, which maybe we'll talk about in what we didn't like here in a second.
Yeah, that's fine.
But Montrez also 23-4. I got to beg the question, was this the first night we've seen Trez actually healthy back in the lineup? Obviously against Sacramento, he didn't have that hot of a game.
This is a spicy question, and I think you might be right. Because I didn't even think about this, but like he plays so hard.
Yeah.
And he's got to take some knocks and stuff like that. And he's just coming back off the flu.
We talked about this too. Like his game is one of the harder games to play with the flu.
Yeah.
Because it's two things.
Imagine playing Trez's game with the flu.
You're taking a lot of contact on the defensive end of the floor. You're taking a lot of contact on offense as well.
Every side. Yeah.
And I just like that sort of touch and finesse. I don't feel like is an easy game to play when you feel like a pile of shit.
And that was the first thing he said in the locker room when he was like, my hands are cold.
Yeah.
He's like, my hands are literally too cold to get a grip. No, it was really nice to see him come in hot, I guess. Zoo, we got a good performance from both the big guys.
Yeah. Career high in blocks for Zoo. He had four.
Team high in blocks too tonight with 11 or something like that.
Yeah. You have, so Zoo ended with 8, 5, and 4. You have an interesting note in here about him versus Drummond.
Yeah. Drummond was minus 21, which, you know, I kind of thought that Drummond was going to feast in this game, which he borderline did, but he didn't put up 20 boards, which is something we've seen really good rebounding centers do against us.
A meager 12.
A meager child's 12. But it was nice to see them going at each other. Zubats, Brian Cullen had a clip from the locker room of Zubats talking about, like, he likes to go up against these big guys. Doc talked about liking to see these two dudes go up. Like, dude, Zubats is a guy, he never is not answering the challenge. Like, the dude, not a lot of players back down, really, but not a lot of guys go at any challenge with as much gumption as Zubats does, no matter what. Like, I said it on yesterday's pod, dude, the last three centers he's played are Gobert and Andre Drummond. Like, for a dude that young to play this hard against these guys is so good to see.
This is just kind of a weird question, so I'll keep this brief. But
okay,
Zoo to me almost has the vibe of an Eastern Conference center. I just feel like they have
like
a
an
lot
old
more
school Eastern Conference
prototypical,
center.
like kind of old school type centers
getting down there and banging around.
And on the flip side, how much better would Andre Drummond's like legacy be if he played in the Western Conference, like on an actual contender?
It might be.
Anyways. Might be.
There was a great Doc Rivers, Andrew Greif just tweeted this. Doc Rivers said the Zubac-Andre Drummond matchup was like two dinosaurs out there banging heads. It's amazing. I thought he and Drummond were having a ball. And Zoo's a good competitor.
Yeah.
Zoo's always a guy who's joking.
Also, another honk for Harkless performance.
Dude, this guy.
12-9. He looked incredible. He had a transition dunk at one point that I had 0% faith he was going to be able to finish. He was coming in so hot. He had a dude on top of him. It took him a minute to even realize that he had been fouled after finishing it, because I feel like the refs were even like, whoa, damn. Wow, I didn't think he was going to finish that.
Yeah, he was looking good. He guarded Tim Frazier again to start the game, you know, what are you going to do? But yeah, Mo is, I think we're undefeated in every game that he puts up 10 points at least. So
that's great.
Honkless Hornstrom. Harkless, send us videos too. Safe videos, please.
Yeah. So let's get into what we didn't like in this one. We already talked about it a little bit at the top of the vagueness of the PG injury situation.
Do you want him to sit out both games this weekend?
I think he should sit out one of the two.
I think he should sit out both.
We're at home is the thing.
We're at home.
The thing is, we're at home, so I feel like you don't need to sit out. That's vacation, baby. You're at home.
He might as well be at home. Rodney Magruder has not made my Magruder fits awesome on this team take seem good.
Yeah.
The minute I said that, he was like, man, I should start playing bad. He was not effective on defense tonight. Derrick Rose had 14 and 6 dimes. He was getting blown by a couple of times. He was getting sought out, it felt like. He shot 2 of 2 from the field, but he's not really in there to score. But so that was nice. But like, no, he's not. I don't know. I think Walton deserves some of the minutes that are given to Magruder when he gets them.
Whoa! All right.
I'm just saying, man.
That's fair. Magruder was a +8 in this one, so still a pretty solid contributor.
Yeah. But you know, just sometimes the eye test, you're like, damn.
I got to agree. Watching him tonight, it did not inspire anything in me.
And he could be coming back. I don't know. But, like, he's getting limited time. But it just wasn't fun. First in the fourth quarter of this game, we lost.
Yes.
We lost a combined 66-50.
Yes.
I was listening to this game on the radio for the first quarter, and it was just like, dude, what the hell are we doing? We trade buckets with teams.
Yeah.
And that's a thing we just do in the first.
I think in the first, I find it to be a little excusable. It's the first quarter.
It's the first quarter, but I'm like, man, I don't want to be going tit for tat with the Pistons.
I agree. It would be nice to see, like,
just an immediate punch to the face.
Especially in games like this where they're down, you know, more than one key contributor.
Yeah, Kennard, Blake, Reggie. Like, they had a bunch of dudes where it was like, I mean, they had, like I said, they had nine guys in double digits, which is kind of phenomenal. Like, against this Clippers defense, it's like, yeah, nine guys in double digits. And the fourth quarter, like, that one I give less credence to because we were up a bunch by that point and we were sitting guys and it was like cruise control mode. But they were up nine at one point. The early three-point shooting was rough. We were like 1 of 6 in the first quarter. We also only ended with 28 attempts.
From deep.
From deep, which is kind of interesting. You think it just would have been more. But if the looks are in the paint, Doc doesn't care where they come from.
Totally. So real quick, how are we feeling on this one?
Okay. Not as good as I want to be feeling, if I'm being totally honest.
I feel pretty good. I was feeling much better, I think, around the start of the fourth, mid-fourth.
And then it almost got close.
Yeah.
They almost cut it single digits at one point.
Yeah. So I don't love that, especially just having key contributors out and Kawhi and Paul George. But
that third quarter was beautiful.
But
the third quarter, 37-16, we shut it down.
No Pat. We were able to keep minutes low for key contributors. Lou Will had a much more efficient game than he's had in a while. On the whole, I feel like this is kind of like on the mend.
Yeah, this was
for the things that needed mending.
Yeah. My only real gripe was like that first quarter and some of the early shot selection from Kawhi, but we got the dub. We're ticking off wins. We're waiting on that full roster.
We still shot 50% from the floor.
Bev went from missing a handful of games to Doc said just a few now, so that's an upgrade.
Yeah.
You know, coming up after this, we're going to have a preview of the Grizzlies and Knicks games, but first, we got to give a shout out to my bookie.
Hey, my bookie.
Hey, there he is. He's following me, but in a friendly way. Between football season, NBA, and the start of college basketball season, it's time to get off the sideline and get into the action with my bookie. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. You could have had a parlay of, I don't know, maybe the last three Clippers games. If you just said Clippers, 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 not a bad parlay. Don't know what the odds are, but probably not very good. You're still getting money. If you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. Tired of watching the games from the couch with nothing to gain? Put some money on it, loser. MyBookie wants to get your mind off everything else and back on the game. If you join right now, MyBookie will match your deposit halfway, all the way up to $1,000. That means if you deposit $2,000, you will get an extra $1,000 and free money to play with.
Wow.
Wow. Free money.
$3,000? No problem.
No problem. Just use promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDONNBA. To take advantage of MyBookie's generous sign-up offer, visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid.
All right, so we got a couple of games coming up this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. Catch us at Staples.
Catch us at Staples. When does Kawhi sit with the Paul George injury?
Yeah.
In which game?
I'd rather see him sit the next game. Of the two.
I'd love to see that. I hope Paul George sits both. I'm fine with both of them sitting that Knicks game.
Yeah.
Despite the Knicks playing weirdly hot, which we're going to talk about.
Are they, though?
For the Knicks? Scorching. So for this Grizzlies game, what could go wrong in this game? Again, 12:30 on Saturday?
Honestly, they're averaging 27 assists a game, which is good for second
in the
league. The
passing's there.
They have some decent passing. They have an exciting young point guard. I think that they could try to exploit some of the weaknesses on defense. If they're able to connect from three, which hasn't necessarily been the story of their season.
It has not.
They could punish the zone a little bit.
Ja Morant is one of those players where I haven't had the chance to watch him a lot. I'm so excited. He's one of those guys I'm actually the most excited to see play this year in Staples.
Totally.
him and Triple J, it's like, just shut these two guys down. Like, yeah. They got Brooks, who can shoot well off the bench. They definitely have some, like, piece, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, there. The Grizzlies are an exciting rebuilding team.
They're just, exactly, it's like classic. They're a classic rebuilding.
But at the same time, though, you know, like, that is the classic team that'll hand you an L at home if
one of these...
you get caught with your pants down. Which I don't even know what that phrase means.
I don't.
But
I
dude, we're not going to discuss
I
on this podcast.
I do not
want to
know the history of the phrase "caught with their pants down." Is this a trap game? Is this more of a trap game than the Knicks game?
Oh man, I want to say yeah, because to me the Grizzlies in my mind are a little bit more wily.
Yes, someone was giving a shit on Twitter because we never talk about trap games, and I'm like, I try and just not think about them.
No, that's
I know
fair.
That's dumb, but
as
a
I would
fan,
say
I'm
if
like,
if one of these two games is a trap game, to me, it's definitely this one. This is the one.
It's the Grizzly game.
This is the one I'm the more worried about of the two. I definitely hope that we can see a healthy Kawhi and Paul George play this one.
One more thing that could go wrong, weirdly. So they are fifth ranked in 2-point field goal attempts per game.
Okay.
They shoot 52% from two.
All right.
So if our shooting falls off a cliff and they're just killing those 2-pointers, we could be in trouble. Look, it's hard to come up with some things for some teams like this. Like,
it'll be a hot time in the old town tonight if the Grizz are draining it from two.
What we need to do well is everything we normally do wrong, because I want to see us destroy a team this weekend.
Yeah, definitely.
This could go for both teams, I guess. Like, let's limit turnovers. Let's have some decent transition play. Let's just look like a team that's not going to let them hang around.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see Mo have a good game in this one.
I'd love to wear down that horn on my car.
I'd also, I mean, you know, I did praise Lou Will's game in this last matchup against the Pistons, but he did have a stretch of like terrible turnovers.
Oh, we didn't talk about that. I was on Twitter for some of that, and like I thought my feed was messed up because everyone was like, Lou Will just turned the ball over, that was careless, and then like three of them happened in like 97 seconds.
Yeah. So it'd be nice to see just kind of some stuff like that maybe not manifest itself, because I feel like those are the kind of mistakes. I mean, obviously, those will lose you any games. I just feel like we're a little bit more prone to making those types of mistakes in winnable games.
Definitely. Yeah, we play down to the guys, which was an issue last year, too.
So, and in terms of turnovers, we're only averaging a tenth less turnover per game than the Grizzlies. Good for 24th and 25th in the NBA.
Clutch. love those kind of stats.
So that could catch up to us if we're not careful. But
yeah,
I don't know.
We got to limit John Triple J, the Big J's, as I'm now calling them.
Totally.
They're both averaging 17 a game. Ja's also averaging almost 7 dimes a game. Also, Jaren Jackson Jr. is shooting 39%, almost 40% on 6.5 three-pointers a game.
Damn.
So the shooting's there for him. Jay Crowder's also letting it fly. He's not shooting well, but he's definitely shooting them. Shooting 6 threes a game on 29% shooting.
That'll come around, though.
Yeah, you think. So we got to limit them. They might look to get Valanciunas going against Zoo.
Okay.
So I think those deflections are going to have to be on point, like they were against the Kings and stuff like that.
Yeah, that'd be good to see. I mean, I'd love another like competitive battle it out game for Zoo, who still saw less than 20 minutes in last night's action. But, you know, depending on how things are going, maybe he could see. You know, I might see 20 minutes.
You got anything else in this game for some quick predickies?
No, I don't think I have anything else in this one.
What's your prediction for this game?
I think the Clippers take this one. Man, I'm worried it could be a little close for comfort.
They got some shooters, man. Dylan Brooks is a good shooter.
Yeah.
He's almost 40% from three on 4 attempts a game.
I think this could be a stupid close game that we end up taking like 112, 117 Clippers. Maybe 112, 115 Clippers.
Someone on Twitter was predicting an undefeated January.
Okay.
And they asked me the chances I thought that was happening. And I said, I think I was kind of high. And I said 82.374.6598%. So I still think that's true. I think we're going to win. I also think it's going to be close. I would bet the Grizzlies to cover the spread on this, but I think they still lose. That's going to be my prediction for this game.
I like that.
Too close.
Yeah.
So let's get into this Knicks game. These mother effing Knicks are on a 3-game win streak. So
kind of.
They got three wins under their belt.
They are truly on a three-win.
Brooklyn, Washington, and Portland all vanquished by the mighty Knickerbockers.
They lost to Washington the game before that win over Brooklyn.
You know, some days it doesn't. Was that right after Fizdale got fired? Because their current coach is 500, which is insane. So they're shooting 35% from three on 32 attempts during the stretch. The biggest thing in this winning stretch, they're grabbing 10 more boards a game than usual.
Okay.
So they're inspired. Like, the biggest thing, it's hard, the biggest thing against a team like this Knicks team right now is we're catching an inspired Knicks team.
That is fair.
It doesn't shake my confidence that much, but for the sake of this segment, like, Julius Randle, 28-12 over the last three games, 47% on 7 three-pointers a game.
Wow.
Obviously not sustainable.
Seven a game?
Dude, seven a game. He's letting it fly.
Julius Randle, I feel like, has always played well against this team, too.
Yes, he has. I love Julius Randle. He and Marcus Morris took a combined 13 threes in their last game.
Damn.
So they're letting it go. They have bigs who are going to shoot on us.
Speaking of bigs, they have like 15 more power forwards than we have.
Yeah, and if they play all 15, we might be screwed. They got size.
They are a top 10. Like, they are a top 10 rebounding team.
Top 10 and it's, is it 10?
It's 7.
Top 10 and it's not 10, 9, or 8. No, they got size. It, you know, things could go wrong.
I mean, you know, like if we're not ready to execute or we're not like ready to battle on the glass.
And we're
like,
going
to
be without at least could one
be
of our
another, guys. And we will be without. Yeah,
and Bev.
That's a good point. We will be without two starters, bare minimum, maybe three.
Sorry to backtrack. Do we put Shamet out there to start on Saturday?
Yeah, probably.
That's what I'm thinking, too. You think so for this game, too?
Yeah.
Yeah. What we need to do well, they're the number one offensive rebounding team per game, according to Basketball Reference.
Okay.
Which could just be because they miss a shit ton of shots. So we got to box out. We got to stay present. They make an effort on the offensive boards, which, you know, as the modern game goes, offensive rebounds are kind of sometimes maybe not as preached as being important as getting back on defense.
Totally.
Which is obvious if you look at the Knicks record. But they're banging down there, and they got big guys. So, like, I think we're going to see some Patterson in this game because they have a bunch of power forwards, so we might have to kind of empty the clip when it comes to bodies.
Totally.
And we got to hit our threes.
We got to hit threes.
This is set up to hit threes.
So, they do have some shooters on this team. Currently,
I don't like that.
Currently, Reggie Bullock, former Pistons great and former Lakers great, and former Clippers great, is shooting 60% on about five attempts per game. Morris, obviously better than he's at 45% on around six attempts per game.
Randle, we just talked about fire from beyond the arc right now.
Yeah. Bobby Portis can knock him down.
Crazy.
They have some people who can space the floor.
And then for the other teams, they're really letting teams go. So they're ranked 28th in three percentage for opponents and 26th in opponents' 3-point attempts. So the shots are going to be there. Theoretically, they're going to be there. So we got to hit them.
How many threes do you think we can make in this game?
Make?
Yeah. 30?
I was going to say 25.
It'd be nice to see. I'm throwing out my wildest dreams.
Anything else in this game before we give another prediction that I think might be the same as last one?
We should not shit the bed on this
I agree
one.
With that. We didn't do really key matches for these because there's two of them, but like, I mean, I want to see Zoo go off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has some more challenges this week.
It'd be fun to see against this Knicks game, especially since they give up so many opponent threes, just sham it. Just have another game where he knocks down, let's say, five in the first half.
I think he was 2 of 7 against the Pistons tonight, which what's down from his last like two or three games before that. So this is definitely like a get into a groove game for Shamet, which is awesome.
Yeah, definitely. He did finish 3 of 8.
3 of 8, excuse me.
38%, 2 of 7 from three, which is only good for less than 30%. So it'd be nice to see him like knocking down some good.
And
some
Lou's
good
gonna.
Looks.
I want to see some Lou. I know this is gonna be hard because we might be missing some guys. Lou played a bunch in the fourth quarter against the Pistons. Like he played the whole fourth quarter, I think.
Totally.
So getting him some rest, like if we could get some guard, some elevated guard play from everyone who's not Lou, I would love that.
Yes.
If Lou could not be on the court for an extended period of time, that'd be awesome.
Who do you think is the most poised to soak up those kind of minutes? So are we thinking Walton, it seems like, right now?
Dude, it's got to be DWJ. Like, we didn't really talk about him in the recap against that Pistons game.
He didn't have the biggest stat game.
Yeah.
But
it just looks better when he's out there. Like, the offense looks better. I know some people might not like the eye test.
It's kind of what Dye said. Like, he's just one of the only true point guards that we have out there.
He's a pure point.
And I think that there is something to be said of that. Obviously, you know, his size is going to lead to some restrictions, really on both ends of the floor, but especially the defensive end. But the effort is there. And just the
just like the
confidence is there. And he's, you know, he's like one of the few guys who can kind of run the point and create his own shot.
And the guys like him.
And it seems like guys like him.
When the guys like the point, it helps everything. And like the thing about the defense is like, we just can't have him and Lou on the floor together. Obviously when everyone's healthy, but in this game, I don't know. They're just too small. What's your prediction for this game?
Prediction for this one. Oh, man. I would love to see us hit a three-game winning streak. I'm going to go Clips. I'm hoping we can take this one away early. I hope that it's like a big Shamit game or something. I'm going to call it 118-102 Clips.
118-102. I'm going 110 91
Ooh, I love it. You know, like, I love holding
them
under 100.
I'm taking the clips on this one. Coming after this, we got some very brief, kind of depressing, I guess, Pac Div talk, because there's only two good teams in it, and then a Pat Bev themed love, Mary Kill.
All right, so
you weren't on the pod for this. I did it solo the other day. Talking Pac Div, might be a Pac Div trade in the works. What do you think about the Zoo for Baines thing? Malarkey. Hearsay. I don't see either team wanting to do it. Like, for both teams, I'm like, why would you do this?
Yeah, I'd be inclined to agree. Baines to me is a little bit of a part of the identity that makes the Suns win. You know, he's like a little bit of a veteran presence.
He's a bit of a lunatic.
Yeah, but he is someone who I think kind of,
in a good way.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does space the floor a little bit.
They have, like, some grit. They have, like, weird grit, which you don't really think of. Like, Oubre's a great defender. Like, Baines throws cheap screens and stuff like that. Like, I just don't see it. And I said this, like, so you're gonna have Ayton's backup be Zubats? Like, that's why Baines is great for this team, because he gives you a different center.
Yeah, who can also... I mean, the biggest thing is, like, he can just stretch the floor. Other than that, like, without having the numbers in front of me, like, truly, what is the upgrade?
And he's not getting a bunch of touches. Like,
yeah.
And I just don't see them doing this. I think the third team, because it's rumored this trade can only happen with three teams.
Something else has to happen.
Well, I think the third team leaked it.
Gotcha.
I think it was like some weird.
Yeah, we'll take a pick if you guys want
to. Yeah, like, and then they told Eric to trade these two guys. Some real quick Pac Div talk. Do we see the Pac Div standings changing from the current Lakers, Clippers, Suns, Sacramento, Golden State Warriors? Like, if, at the end of the year, I mean, I don't see the Warriors going anywhere.
The Warriors are not going anywhere.
They're at 9 wins.
No, I
it seems like it's gonna be the same.
Yeah,
unless there's a catastrophic injury for the Lakers, which we don't want to happen.
It's rough. But yeah, I think we have the two teams that are pretty much
there,
neck and neck, kind of above everybody else.
Kings can't just get healthy, which is brutal. Suns are still kind of figuring it out.
Yeah, and I still, like, even if these teams figure it out, because right now they're pretty close in terms of records. Suns are 13-21, Kings are 13-22. These guys could shuffle between one another, but they're not really jumping into that top two kind of criteria.
Yeah. Do you think we kind of talk about this every week because I feel like it changes every week. Phoenix or Sacramento? Either of those guys making the playoffs? I think Phoenix has the edge right now. And Sacramento, like I said, keeps getting ravaged by injuries. And bad coaching. I'm going to go on the record on the pod and say that. We talked about this a little bit. How the hell are the Kings last in pace in the NBA?
No idea. So last time we talked about this, I said I kind of favored the idea of the Kings making it just because.
Yeah, that's not a crazy thought.
Just because of what they were able to do last year with a healthy Bagley and Fox back healthy in the lineup.
Yeah.
But right now, as of this week, I got to say the Suns are a game and a half out. They're only half a game ahead of the Kings. I don't know. For whatever reason, they still just... They right now seem maybe a little bit closer. Man. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think? Do either of these guys snag a playoff spot for you, do you think?
I think it comes down to like the last three games or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think they both fall short.
Because right now...
I think it's an exhaustion thing of just like, God damn it.
Right now...
And the talent on like the Blazers and stuff is better and like the Thunder playing good.
Well, that's the thing. Like the Thunder, I'm going to say, are almost cemented a spot unless something catastrophic happens. I'm sorry. I just think with the lineup that they have, they're pretty much just cemented a spot. I think that
best young point guard in the game over there in OKC.
Right now, the Kings or the Suns, whichever it is that's going to break into this mix is definitely going to be looking at having to best the Spurs or the Blazers in the regular season.
Which I don't know. Maybe the Spurs, which Popovich, no one wants to talk about that, but someone should.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems tough as hell. Right now, I guess I like the Suns. Anyways, that's all we got for that. Let's get into a Love, Marry, Kill.
Yeah, so this is an Updike special.
All right.
Patrick Beverley's favorite pastimes when he's not hooping.
Okay, so I gotta wonder, when Pat Bev is sitting out games like this, he never seems comfortable.
He seems like he wants to just play in his clothes.
Yeah.
I also want him to be the coach of the Clippers at some point so bad, but...
So, it got me wondering, what is he doing when he's not hooping?
What is he doing when he's not hooping?
So far on the board we have eating nails. You know, sometimes you just gotta stay tough.
Look.
I watched Ripley's Believe It or Not one time about a man who was a French dude who would eat bizarre things, and he was eating an airplane piece by piece, and it seemed...
Piece by piece? Like they took the airplane apart and he ate it?
Yeah, he's like taking it apart, and he ate it over a period of years, like every single bolt. He had them like in bags, portioned out.
That's less impressive than just climbing on top of it and eating it.
So I think that it is possible, and I think that maybe he is doing it just to stay strong out there.
What else we got?
Woodworking, but with ancient tools, kind of primitive technology.
Yeah, I like that one.
Elaborate Rube Goldberg machines to do very simple things.
I came up with this one because I think his laser focus would be like, you know, there'd be like a hamster starting the thing and then like a match would light like invisible ink and it would just say like, hey, remember to turn the oven on. And he'd be like, I did
and that. It doesn't even turn the oven on for him. It's just reminding him to do it.
And he's
it.
Like, I made that. And everyone's like, dude, Bev has to get back to work.
Also, the clip is he just watches that clip of the guy saying, you lock it up from Wedding Crashers, which
lock
is
it up.
A very problematic movie, but yes. That one line is very funny. And the idea of Patrick Beverley watching that on a loop in possibly a 360 mirror seems like something he could maybe do to stay ready.
if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready, as the philosopher Sugar Free once said.
He finds people's lost cats and dogs on the neighbor. I'm imagining he's doing it by just throwing a bark out there and seeing who comes to hang.
I thought of it like how, fun fact, Harrison Ford is a trained helicopter pilot and has helped the U.S. Forest Service save like 12 people. I thought it was going to be like, he was in like a copter.
Oh, I
like he's
it.
Like right there.
I love that.
And it's really intense, but like it's for good.
And I think this is just another one I'm going to throw out there. He's making those kind of collages that are a cliche of like the detective genre. So there's a lot of pictures of people who have wronged him connected by red yarn.
Okay. I like that. I'm loving the collages with pics and red yarn because that's a Bev thing. Like Bev Just got the new contract. Probably got a, you know, I think he said he bought his mom a house, which is fantastic. There's like a room in that house where he's like, don't look at my research.
I love that he's gone at his research.
Yeah, it's too. Like people who've wronged him. And I totally get that because everyone has a list of people who've wronged them at some point.
I'm going to piggyback on that. I love that too. Yeah. That's very bad.
Also, Patrick Beverly definitely has a book of grievances.
Yes.
Which, if you're not familiar, the book of grievances is something I invented where once you die, your friends can read through a book of grievances you've had with them.
Yeah.
They can just see. I'm marrying the elaborate Rube Goldberg machines that do very simple things. Just from, I would love to see his kids be like, dude, dad has to go back to work. Like, it sucks when my dad is hurt and he can't work because he makes Rube Goldberg machines that are really intense. Maybe it's motivational or something. Like, it's like a Rube Goldberg machine that like kicks you in the ass if you're taking too long doing something. Or it's like a remote control car. Like, I like that one. And then I think I have to kill the lock it up thing because I think Patrick Beverly would not agree with most of that movie. But I'm gonna keep that. I'm gonna kill eating nails because I think that sets him back further.
It seems dangerous. I have to kill that as well. I gotta marry the you lock it up, and I gotta say, maybe he hasn't even seen the rest of the movie. He doesn't even care about it. Someone sent him.
We've all been there where we've heard a quote from a movie and we think it's fun. So yeah.
Somebody sent him the Get Yarn IO clip, which is if you work in an office.
Are you trolling Get Yarn IO?
Which, if you work in an office, is like the only, is like, I don't know, a quarter of your communication with other coworkers.
And that and GIFs is why you need to work in an office. God, I hate working in an office.
I love it. That's a good one. I just like the idea of him like, it's
like trying to surprise himself.
In a bunch
you
of
lock
years.
It up. You lock it up.
And I also imagine this taking place in a closet in which he has like a Doug Funny uniform of blazers and hoodies.
It's the same room where he has the twine.
Yeah.
That's a multimedia room right there.
Anyways.
Let us know what you guys think, Patrick. No one's ever responded when I've asked them about the Love, Mary, Kill. Hit us up on Twitter, at Will Updike, at Charles Walker, at Locked On Clips.
We'd love to know what you think.
Monday's episode, we're going to have a recap of these hopeful double matinee victories.
That'd be great.
If you see us at the games, come say what's up. Might be too early to go to Hank's after, but who knows. We're going to have the freshies on Monday. Whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, hopefully an update on that PG situation.
Yeah. Hope y'all are off to a great start at the new year. Please.
If
you haven't already, we'd really appreciate it if you subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. If you leave a rating or a review, we'll read it on air. We'd love to hear what you think.
Yes.
As always, check us out at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler on Twitter.
I have been Positive Like Mockler. Thank you for hanging out. I was at Disneyland for 13 hours. It was a dream to come do this podcast.
I'm William the Opinion Uptike. I was at Disney for 0 hours. F everything. Really appreciate every single one of you. Thank you so much.
Nice. How long was that one?